The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed.
Tells them, let's go away because you guys need some rest. And they try to go to a place that's apart, but everybody sees them and they rush around and they get there before the boat even lands. So there's this great gathering of people and Jesus steps out of the boat and I'm sure he goes, "Oy." But then he says he has compassion on them because they're like sheep without a shepherd. And so he begins to teach them. It's very interesting. The first thing he does is he begins to teach them. And then, all of a sudden, when they had crossed to the other side, there's like 20-some verses that are missing there. What happens is that when Jesus steps out of the boat and all the people are there, he teaches them, and then at the end of that time, his disciples come to him, you'll remember this, and they say, "Look, send these people away because we don't have enough food to feed them, and it's getting dark, they're going to have to catch the 7-Eleven before it closes. They need some food." And Jesus says, "You give them something to eat," and they argue back and forth, and then finally Jesus says, "Bring me what you got," and he feeds 5,000 people, right? You know that story. Then they get in the boat, and they start going across to the other side, and that's where the gospel does say, right? It says, when they had crossed over. Well, there's another little story that's not in there either, and that is, when they had crossed over, that is to say, they get in the boat, and they're crossing over, and there's a storm that boils up, and they're afraid, and they're trying to row the boats, and Jesus is up on the mountain praying, and he comes down, and he walks on the water, right, in the middle of this big storm, and he gets in the boat, and they end up where they're going to go. Again, this is a crossing over, and you'll remember that the last time they tried to cross over from Jewish territory to Gentile territory, there was what? A storm. This is what happens every time the disciples in the Gospel of Mark try to go from known territory to unknown territory, from Jewish territory to Gentile territory, right? From religious folks to the pagans. That's kind of what you got to think about, all right? But Jesus insists that he continue to go, even though the storms rage every time they try to do that. Now, after they had crossed over, Jesus begins to heal all of the people, right? They see him, and they gather up all the folks who were sick, and they bring them to the marketplace so that Jesus could touch just the hem of his garment, right? Just like the woman with 12 years of blood. And he heals them. So in both places, both in the Jewish place where 5,000 are gathered, he has compassion, he teaches, he heals, then he leaves, And so there also in Gentile territory, the people gather, he teaches, he has compassion, he heals. This is the movement that is just absolutely essential to us understanding who we are as Christians. Because we aren't Jews, we're Christians, we're the Gentiles. We're the ones who are being brought in. Even though there's a storm raging, we Gentiles are going to be brought in. And that's what the author of Ephesians is trying to talk about. He's saying, remember this. Remember when you guys were outside of the covenant of Israel. Remember when you guys were without God. Remember when you guys were without hope. Now, if he was from the south, he'd have said, remember when all y'all were not part of the covenant of Israel. Y'all remember that? Right? He's asking us, he's not saying, yeah, that's why we use all y'all, because he's not saying you individually, do you remember? He's saying, do y'all remember? This is a communal remembrance, and it's really important for you all to remember. That's what Paul's trying to get at here. We have to remember that at one time we were not a part of the covenant. We were outside of hope in God. But in Christ Jesus, through his blood, through his death and resurrection, you all have been brought in. We have been brought in. He's asking us, not just then to the people in Ephesus, but to us now, to have a long-term memory. Remember this. It's what God is always telling people. In the Hebrew Bible, there's a lot of this. Remember, you were slaves in the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall not oppress the strangers in your midst. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Do not oppress the foreigner. Remember when you were in Egypt and how God brought you out and separated you from that. Not just saved you from being slaves, but brought you out so that you would not no longer experience oppression, either as oppressed or oppressor. Remember. And St. Paul's trying to get us to do the same thing. There's a whole, for Israel, in Judaism, there's a whole big meal. It's called the Seder meal. And once a year, we gather around in our families, and we eat a meal, and we hear the story of what? How God brought us out of slavery into the land of promise. Right? Remember. It's every year we do this so that we will remember and not fall back into that. And it's not only that, and what's beautiful about this is just a little sidebar about the Seder meal, and that is this. Not only do they remember that God saved them out of slavery, but they also, as Deuteronomy says, you shall not hate the Egyptian. You were slaves there, but you shall not hate them. And so at the Seder meal, at one point in the meal, you take three drops, one out of your wine, one, two, three, onto your plate, to remember the suffering of the Egyptians at the Passover, when the firstborn were killed. Is that beautiful or what? That's the kind of remembering that God wants. Remember that so we don't walk in that same path. And so, the author of Ephesians, we'll just call him Paul anyway, St. Paul is trying to get us to do that, to have that long-term memory. But St. Paul is asking a lot of us because our memory is only about 10 minutes long. Maybe it's only like 3 innings long. So I can tell you about this. Yesterday I was playing in softball. I play on a team that's a bunch of nice guys. They're really nice guys. We're playing against a team who are a bunch of jerks. All right? Have a long-standing... everybody knows that they are... Just they're cutthroat, they'll win at all costs, they're really, really good, and they will do things that are just mean in order to win. And everybody knows that, and everybody knows we're nice guys. So remember that. So they are up, to bat, we're out in the field, and there's a guy on third base, and the batter is this big guy. He's a football size, like, offensive lineman, 300 some pounds, and he's already hit two balls, like, way over the fence. And he hits a ball, and it hits our pitcher, which is just like, oh my gosh, I think they killed him. And the ball goes dribbling off somewhere. Well, there's a guy on third on this team that has this reputation for being jerks, and he's partway down the line going home, and he could easily go home, and he stops at home plate. I mean, he stops right in the middle, and instead of going home, he goes over to our pitcher to make sure he's okay. This jerk of a guy, right, on this team that everybody knows is cutthroat. But no, he stops, and he goes over, and he tends to our pitcher. Which is just sweet. I'm standing there. I'm at shortstop. I'm going, this is great. Isn't that sweet? And then all of a sudden, one of our guys grabs the ball and tags him out. And then everybody on our team starts arguing that he should be out because he didn't go home. He went to tend to our pitcher. That's how long our memory is, right? Wait. We're supposed to be the good guys. The nice guys, and all of a sudden we're the jerks. We couldn't remember. So, St. Paul is asking a lot of us to remember back that what one time we were not in covenant with God. We were the ones who were looked at as being outside of the pale of God's love. As a group. And now, we are being asked to remember that every time we look at some other group and think, they are outside the pale of God's love. Anybody, no matter what. Yep, they're jerks, they're outside the pale of God's love. No way. Mm-mm. They're anti this, they're pro that, they're anti this, they're pro that. No, outside of the pale of God's love. And every time we do that, we are asked by the God of the universe to remember. Do you remember when you were the one who was told that you were outside of that pale of God's love? Remember when you were the one who was being called unfaithful? Remember when you were hopelessly lost? Remember that. The church is at its best when it remembers that. And the church is at its worst when it forgets that. And so that's why I think St. Paul is constantly telling us, remember. Remember when you were not. And now you are. And I think by implication he's also saying, remember that you are beloved of God, that you are under the covenant of God with Israel. And that's when we're really at our worst, isn't it? When we start blaming Jews for the death of Jesus and we all the anti-Semitism and all of that, that's when we're at our worst. But when we remember, when the nation of Israel remembers the prophets and the Torah, and remembers that God brought them out of oppression, they're at their best. And when they forget, they're not at their best. That's how we all are. Do not oppress the foreigner among you. How are we doing that? Remember, you were a foreigner once. How are we doing with those folks who we just think, oh man, nope, immoral, unlovable? Remember, that was us. And remember that we now are not aliens. We are adopted. We are God's children. And our task is to gather in all and to insist, to remember that they too stand where we stood but not me. Because it is God's delight to bring all things in heaven and on earth together and to break down the dividing wall which divided us from them. Saint.